Deaf refugees often have histories of being oppressed and marginalized in their nations of origin. Advocates in Rochester have organized to help folks adapt and become self-sufficient here in New York State. In this story from WXXI's Inclusion Desk, Noelle Evans speaks with refugees whose journeys have been shaped by these advocates.
Sangeeta Kami has been deaf all her life. Her husband Perna says that he was born hearing, but became deaf after he fell from a tree when he was 8 years old.
I didn't understand, now I am deaf. It just happened. I did miss being able to communicate with people, because people would communicate with me, but I didn't understand anything they said.
That's Perna. He and Sangeeta are communicating through a deaf interpreter, who is signing to a hearing interpreter, who is interpreting from American Sign Language to spoken English. The interpreter's voice has been dubbed over. The two are from Bhutan, but they met in a refugee camp in Nepal. Growing up in Bhutan, Sangeeta says that she wasn't allowed to attend school. The schools were for children who could hear, not for deaf students. Instead, she had to work in the rice fields.
There were women who worked amongst us at that time who had some very basic home signs. But we did not have a formal language, and of course we couldn't speak. So everything was gestural.
This was when she was about 6 years old. Around this time, Bhutan was enforcing a One Nation, One People policy that stripped hundreds of thousands of people of their citizenship. That meant that their presence was suddenly made illegal in the country. Sangeeta and Perna were kids at the time. Like nearly 100,000 other Bhutanese refugees, they left with their families to Nepal. It was there that the two met at a school for the deaf, where they were learning Nepali Sign Language. They got married, had three children, and after about 20 years in the refugee camp, their family emigrated to the United States. It was 2010 and their first time on an airplane.
I remember feeling horribly nauseous on the plane. I couldn't keep any food down during the entire trip. It was horrible. It wasn't a good start because I arrived to America nauseous.
They landed in Rochester, New York, which has one of the largest deaf populations per capita in the U.S. In Rochester, they met their first American Sign Language, or ASL, interpreter.
Once I got here, things started going over my head, and I didn't understand a lot of the things that were communicated to me. And slowly but surely, being exposed to American Sign Language, I got better at understanding.
Later they met Rob Taney, who co-founded Deaf Refugee Advocacy in Rochester in 2017. The group works with deaf refugees from all over.
In Syria, there was one refugee that we met that had to get literally through the bombs of a war and escape out of that.
That's Taney, who's deaf. He's speaking through an ASL interpreter. In the course of 2 years, the group has helped about 35 refugees with life skills, ASL classes, and with navigating legal and medical appointments with interpreters. Two interpreters. One to translate from English to ASL, and a certified deaf interpreter who can break down ASL further for the refugees. Without that advocacy, Taney says deaf refugees were at greater risk of losing their disability benefits, losing custody of their children, or becoming homeless. Miscommunication with doctors has also led to health complications.
One refugee, for example, was not improving in health whatsoever, didn't know how to communicate what he needed. We had an advocate that got involved, and as a result of that, this person not only improved his understanding of medical needs, but his health improved as well.
Taney says that substance abuse and domestic violence are also concerns. Deaf refugees often end up isolated, dependent on family members, unable to find jobs, and unable to form community ties.
When they come here, they don't understand the immigration law, they don't understand their rights, and they lived in camps, and they depended so much on their family.
As for Sangeeta, she says she's grateful for the opportunities here.
We have communication now. Imagine a life where you didn't have education. It was very oppressive where we were from. And now in the U.S., it's an open book.
Noelle Evans, WXXI News.